Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Sunday, and this is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. And today we have an old friend with us who's been with you really since the beginning. I'd like to say before we begin the show today, Here Be Monsters was begun during the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And that's a big part of what we're talking about today. It's a return to the roots for this little production here. Every day I was calling the White House. And, hey, I campaigned for that man really big, and I was so disappointed. But the thing is, started this little blog talk radio show to get the truth out there. And like all of us who are doing this, indies that are putting out the message that we think that, of course, we know the mainstream media doesn't. It's Here Be Monsters was named because of this. I grew up on these waters throughout the Caribbean and in the Gulf of Mexico, down the Tortugas and towards Cuba. I mean, I've been everywhere nautically. And the old cartographers, the ancient map makers, when they did not know what laid in the ocean before them, they would call that territory Here Be Monsters. And that's where the name of this show comes from. So, and very quickly, my good friend and Roundtree 7 buddy, Jack Jodell, came
Hello,
on.
Hello, everybody.
And one of the first we had on, besides Sharif Voigtlin, who was very big in that, was Tricia Springstead, who's with us today. Now, Tricia has been fighting this. Well, not fighting. She seeks healing. That's her job. She is seeking healing. And she has, her whole life has changed in this period of time in doing this. She has a calling. And she's with us today to talk about where it's gone, what is happening, the dissolving of not just people's lives, but also a culture that is being vanquished down here. And there are many, many places where you can point to and responsibility and non-action. But that's Trish's job today to talk about. Trish, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Gwen.
Oh, hey. It's been a while. It's been a long while. As I was saying before, I listened to, you know, that great tune those guys did on the beach, Osceola's Crying. And mm-hmm. I started crying all over again, you know.
I know. It started out for me as just an injustice, you know, and, you know, I'm not going to go into my whole beleaguered history behind this, but I do want people to know that when you're fighting, number one, the number one military industrial complex provider for oil and gas, you better be ready for what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be, you better be ready for people infiltrating your life, trying to harass you. You better be ready for people trying to destroy your relationships. You better be ready for people trying. And just because I'm a little paranoid doesn't make me crazy. You better be ready for people to call you crazy. You better be ready for, you know, very early on I was down on those beaches. Those beaches were being guarded by Wackenhut, which is now G4S.
Yeah.
I was threatened with arrest down there. You know, I went through a divorce. I was married for 20 years. I went through a divorce. I was trolled and harassed and called a whore and called all kinds of names. And I really wish that I had done all the things that people thought I did, because I sure had a hell of a good time. but I didn't. And you know, it just went from one thing to another, and then I saw my own turn on us. You know, people I knew and I loved and I thought I could trust, they turned on us. Oh. They turned on each other. And every time I would try and figure out why somebody turned on me or turned on these people, it's because maybe they got a payout and they shut up.
Yeah,
that's
or,
the old divide,
you know,
conquer strategy, maybe, you know.
It was, absolutely. At the very beginning, we were so united.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I'm not going to name names, but we were very united. And we were really trying to come out as a single front. But it does get divided and conquered, and things fall apart. The thing that sustained me through all this was that I wanted to get to the truth. And I didn't get in this to be in a movie or be in films. I didn't get in this to get known. I got in this for nothing, but I wanted health care for these people.
Right.
And I wanted the truth on these illnesses. And so, you know, I participated in the original study that went to D.C. with the Earth Organization, Louisiana Environmental Action Network, Ricky Ott, Mary Lee Orr, Michael Robichaud, Wilma Subra. I participated in that. I was writing letters to Joseph Biden, and he passed me off to the CDC, and they basically called me a crackpot. So what I did was I went over to Madametrics and I took their training on chemical toxicity and on volatile organic compounds and on polynucleated aromatic hydrocarbons. And I saw the blood of these people turning to gas.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a 34 case study, not just on people that worked not just people that worked in the vessels, they call it the vessels of opportunity. I call it the vessels of missed opportunity, because what they did was they were putting these guys were all sick up and down the Gulf. They were throwing up. They were saying that all these fishermen that worked in the VU program had a food poisoning. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's chemical toxicity. They would have these guys spotting, and then at night they would come and spray with Corexit.
Yeah.
Now my, you know, from the very beginning, my biggest concern, the oil, because we could have let that oil come to the surface. We could have skimmed it off. We could have skimmed it off, and we could have sent it off, and it would have been a mess. It would have been a mess for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But they chose to spray very early on with toxic dispersants.
That's right.
You know, there's studies that are out say it made it 52 times more toxic. There was a one quality indicative study that I read that I thought would be the benchmark, and that was by Dr. Paul Samarco. Samarco said that it was actually 3,800 times more toxic, and that the feds were out there testing it with the wrong sampling methodology, being a Niskin bottle. Well, you know, I've been at this a long time, and I know that you do not put samples of oil mixed with Corexit in plastic, because it's going to absorb those chemicals.
Well, plastic
you put it in
is
glass.
Problem.
I know, right?
Right.
So very early on, I turned to Robert Naiman, and Bob Naiman is just an absolutely amazing human being. Bob Naiman had ACT Laboratory, and he had Noah Sterkel in his lab, an independent biologist. So anyways, he had Noah Sterkel in his lab. He was getting threatened. They were saying that he was, you know, that he was a polluter. They were, I mean, this guy has been in it out of love for his golf from the very beginning. Had it not been for Bob, had it not been for some other people out there, I lost my mind, because Bob was there and he was living there. I mean, you know, he was the one, I don't know if you remember initially, this made national news when his employee went and got a beaker of oil and Corexit where children play. I believe it was in Gulf Shores, and they went to test it, and the beaker exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It was methane.
Ooh,
it was methane. So
yeah.
The bottom line is, you know, the bottom line is, all right, I get it. We had an oil spill. I totally understand that. But, you know, my issue is who, and it was BP and the EPA were calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I blame BP, and I blame our own military for spraying that crap.
Right.
And you know, this is my country, for God's sake. You know,
well,
these
you also remember,
people.
You also had Halliburton in that mix, too. And they were still calling a lot of big boy shots because
exactly.
they had permeated the EPA during the Bush administration
exactly.
with their own people.
You know, and even Transocean put their own employees in jeopardy. So
yeah.
the
well,
bottom line
they're
is.
Expendable.
Yeah, everybody was expendable. And I have guys that are out there on that rig, on those rigs that have to work and they're still sick. They're talking
mm-hmm.
to me. They're calling me. They're sick.
It's terrible.
So, it is. It's awful. And
you know
the biggest
crime of all, the biggest failure of the Obama administration, whom I hold accountable for this, is that
mm-hmm.
two things have happened that did not happen during the Obama administration that should have. The Wall Street bankers should have all gone to jail, and the perpetrators of the BP disaster and the Corexol and all that stuff, they should be in jail right now. But nothing
Absolutely.
Nothing like that has occurred, nothing at all. You know, it's just disgusting.
You know what? Let's just call it for what it is. It's crimes against humanity.
Exactly.
Because, you know, bottom line, these people got gassed, and this stuff is still coming up. Whenever there's a, even when there's a small storm, wait till we have a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
But this
mm-hmm.
stuff is still coming up, and these people are still getting sick, and they're still exposed. And then somebody, you know, started threatening me and saying, well, it's all Taylor Energy's fault. All right, fine. Taylor Energy's been leaking for years. I get that. Other oil companies have been leaking for years. But they never dumped those dispersants at this magnitude subsea or on top of that water. That is not what they were designed for. Corexit 9527 was the worst culprit. They had it stockpiled, and it's still on the National Contingency Protocol list. That's bullshit.
You're
yeah.
kidding.
And it's basically
no,
the end effect is horrendous health effects on local residents, but and future residents,
awful.
We don't even know. But let's talk about the whole industries, the shrimp industry. You know what? I will not eat any shrimp that I hear comes from the Gulf. And I'm sorry, I used to enjoy Gulf shrimp. But not anymore. I'll never do it again. I won't even eat it coming out of Far West in Houston. That's how much I fear this Corexol and all that stuff because it just doesn't stay there. It goes all.
But
the
you
way.
Know, it was called Corexit. Corexit.
Right, right.
Yeah. Orwell, George Orwell. Corexit.
Oh yeah. That's
so
right.
So in
yeah.
the mind of all these people that were listening to mainstream media throughout this nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
They thought, oh, it's corrected. It's
yeah,
awesome.
No, right. Exactly, yeah.
You know, I don't give a... Exactly. You know,
yeah,
I don't
the
care
Orwellian
who's...
The do speak.
I don't care whose oil's out there. I know BP's the worst,
yeah.
but I know Taylor was leaking. I know it, but they dumped corrected on top of it. That's what people are not getting.
Right.
And it's making them sick.
Trisha,
I talk
to us about people... On the Gulf, along the Gulf Shore communities that you've been working with and some of the symptoms and what people are suffering
sure.
with. So folks know.
Sure.
They
I got it. I can put this together pretty easily. If indeed that made it, I don't care, 52 or 3,800, I don't care what the numbers are. It did make it more toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that it makes it more bioavailable
right.
in the body, okay?
Right.
So,
the biological
right.
life forms will absorb it more.
Right, and it's most especially the 9527, because that biomarker in 9527 was stuff called 2-butoxyethanol. Okay, so this is the way it rolls, and I'm going to try and be as scientific about this and nursing so people can understand this. All right. If the only study that I ever saw on humans was a study that was done on Chubutex toxic ethanol on man. Somebody stopped me that study, and I started looking at it, and I was mortified. All right.
Yeah.
So at 50%, now I'm going to try and quote this study as scientifically as possible. At 50% humidity, it makes oil more bioavailable to the human body. At 100% humidity, you're saturated, okay?
Oh,
So anyways, what happened was that, you know, first off, you could have been standing on that beach or been a resident taking pictures, and if it was at 50, when have you seen 50, 60, 70, 80% humidity in the Gulf? Rarely. I live in the Gulf, for God's sake. And, and the thing is that then you have, you know, you have your skin, which is one receptor. Then you have mucous membranes of your mouth, which is another receptor, the mucous membranes of the mouth. You have the ears, which are comprised of sebum, which is an oily substance, okay? You have your sweat glands and your hair. I have people with their hair falling out. You know, then what happens is that it also enters through the skin. It makes it more, it enters through the eye. The, you know, VP saying, oh, well, we'll pay out if their eyes got splashed. Are you kidding me? Really? Their eyes, their vision, they're having vision problems. They're having horrible, horrible lesions around their eyes.
Mm.
Their skin is a nightmare. And so what happens is that in the presence of this toxic compound, what happens is that the veins carry, the capillaries carry the blood to the veins and the skin, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
All right. Then the veins carry the blood to the heart, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right. So you have the veins carrying the blood to the heart.
Right.
Once the blood gets into the heart, then what happens is you'll see, if they're chemically toxic, you'll see tachycardia because the lungs want to oxygenate the body. But the chemicals are going to win out every freaking time. So what happens is then you have blood that's exiting the lungs now going into the systemic circulation. So that's going to go into the mesenteric arteries, via the arteries, you know, via the ascending,
right,
descending,
right. This
the descending
wire.
Aorta. So then it's going to go into the mesenteric, which is the stomach. Then it's going to go into the kidneys. It's going to go into the liver. Then it crosses over into the blood-brain barrier. Then I'm seeing brain fog. Then I'm seeing neurological deficits. Then it goes into the extremities. It goes into your extremities. You have toxic blood going into your extremities. In your hand, you're going to see numbness and tingling. You're going to see the same etiology as you saw in First Gulf War Syndrome from when they gave those soldiers those drugs. I believe they're prostigmides, neostigmides, I can't even remember them. But anyways, you're going to see the same results, the same thing, and this is, Robichaud proved this. Mike Robichaud, one of the few people that treated these people, that was able to treat these people. And so, anyways, what happened was, they are exhibiting the same symptoms as First Gulf War Syndrome, and they are also exhibiting the same exact symptoms as the first 9/11 responders. So, bottom line, then look at, look at the breakdown. If you look at the breakdown, your excretory organs are toxic. You're going to see liver cancers. You're going to see kidney cancers.
Mm.
You're going to see soft tissue cancers. But then think about the mouth. Remember, I started in the mouth and the nose. Sinus problems, the sinus issues, surgery. Some of these people have had multiple sinus surgeries. Then it goes into the respiratory tract, and it hits that mucosa. You know, then you're going to have airway dysfunction. Then you're going to have, you know, chronic asthma. You're going to have chronic airway problems. You're going to have chronic COPD problems. If you don't get throat cancer or lung cancer. I've been
people, if you doubt anything Tricia is saying, don't, because Tricia is an expert in this stuff. You're a registered nurse, aren't you?
I am.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So she knows what she's talking about. She's seen it with her own eyes.
Experience.
Yes,
I was
exactly.
Married to a doctor for 20 years, you know?
There you go.
I'm not
she knows
stupid.
Her stuff, gang. It's horrible what's going on down there, and what's even more horrible is we're not hearing about it anymore because it's not the news du jour, you know?
Exactly.
But it's still
the
existing.
The other thing is,
it's horrible.
You know, very early on, we saw Corexit blows up red blood cells. Mm-hmm. Very early on, I got it. I was, you know, we had esophageal, you know, esophagus, people's esophaguses were melting.
Yeah.
You know,
oh my gosh.
Stomach problems, you know, stomach issues, constant nausea and vomiting. You know, where did they think this stuff was going to go? Away?
Yeah. Just vanished.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
They did, and they sacrificed my Gulf of Mexico for tourism, for industry. They sacrificed our Gulf of Mexico for tourism and for industry. And you know what? BP, they bought it lock, stock, and barrel. Just because it's not dead, just because you can't see it, just because it's not down there, and or just because it's not out there and it's not ever present on your daily routine, you wait. You wait. Next storm, everybody's gone.
And the most insulting and infuriating thing that I ever saw was about maybe 2 years after the problem began down there, we started seeing all kinds of commercials up here in the north about, oh, yeah, come on down. It's warm
out
here. It's fine. The food's great. Have some, you know.
That was Ogilvy and Mather.
Yeah.
Ogilvy and Mather, they're the same people that report for the NIH, the CDC, and they're the same people that report for BP.
Yeah.
There's your advertising agency.
Out and out bullshit.
There's your connections. There's your synergy.
There you go. So, you know, so then what I finally decided, it was around October, I got rid of everything. I just said, I've had it. You know, I had, in 2015, I traveled up and down the Gulf and got to meet people that I hadn't seen in years or never met them on Facebook or, you know, I went to Louisiana. I went up and down the Gulf and I got to talk to these people and spend time with them and find out that the majority of them were still really sick. When I came back, I made a decision to just get rid of everything. And I bought an RV and I drive it around and I started a project called the Second Wind Project. Very early on, John Waltham, my hero, John was the guy that was out there doing the photos, doing the videoing. John was the guy, you know, John was the guy that was showing us what was going on out there. And John is in the process of doing a film, too. So I want to give a big shout-out to John Waltham and to Drew Landry for working on a film. I want to give a huge shout-out to Mark Manning. Mark Manning did the movie The Road to Fallujah. And he's an exceptional videographer. And actually, I had the honor of meeting him and Ruben and the crew. And this is not about me. And I keep saying this, it's not about me. It's not about me getting famous. It's not about me getting rich off of somebody else's disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It was about, you know, running into these guys who just happened to be from Santa Barbara, which, you know, was one of the most beautiful places I ever lived in my life. But then also to really be compassionate film crew people. And as well as Drew has been a wonderful, wonderful director and, you know, in their film. So bottom line was that, you know, then they also were lying and they said that they didn't spray any Corexit in Florida. That's bullshit.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I got sprayed on in Apalachicola and I have videos of what came up there. I ended up getting a lot of trouble in Apalachicola. I won't even go into it. But, you know, there were a lot of people that were working on the government side and that were trying to destroy me. And that's okay. But you know what? I figured out through all of it, the cream rises to the top. And I'm not in it for any other reason but to get the help for these people that need to be helped. So what happened was when I made the decision, I didn't know what I was going to do. When I made the decision to get rid of everything, bought the RV, and I was getting ready to go, Lori Bossars called me from Codin and Bayou Lavasser. So I went down. My buddy Peter, who was also affected in Cedar Key by spraying a toxic dispersant, and some other friends of mine in Apalachicola said, you know, this is really what you need to be doing. So I went into Codin. I went into Codin, Alabama, and I had known Lori very, very early on. And what people don't understand is that when you start going into these really hard-hit communities, you're dredging up 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people are suffering from PTSD. I know I was suffering from it, you know,
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
PTSD, because we've all been so shell-shocked, and we've
right.
seen a unified front get completely disjointed. And we I mean, I had people that tried to get my license taken to practice nursing taken away from
mm-hmm.
me. I had people that, I mean, they're all kinds of stuff. But it's not about me. So I go into Code In, and I walk in, Code In, and there's people everywhere that are sick.
Wow.
So what people don't understand, and then, you know, the more I was there, the more they were coming out. Mississippi, the more people came out of the closet was sick. You know, everywhere I
right.
went, and I mean, I could go into small towns in Florida and say, hey, anybody having rashes or breathing problems down here? And they're like, what, who are you? What do you want? Well, you know, yeah, we're sick. I'm like, oh my God, you know? So I can go into any of these small towns and people are going to tell me what's going on because I keep coming back. I'm not
mm-hmm.
like the freaking NIH, and I'm not like, you know, we're not like these other idiots. We keep coming back, and I keep coming back, and I keep getting their information. I keep finding out more and more. I reviewed 100 charts, and I can't tell you where it was I reviewed them, but I did. I reviewed 100 charts.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I found out we had this disparity in what was going on down here. I reviewed 100 charts. Out of 100 charts, 25% of them were dead.
Wow.
I was getting pretty sick and tired of reviewing dead charts.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and you know, Trish,
and
you've been very selfless on all of this. You have not enriched yourself in the least. As a matter of fact, you've sacrificed a lot
right.
to do these investigations. And, you know,
yep.
the sad thing is these are all covered up. There's been a massive cover-up. Most of the rest of the country is completely unaware of this, where they hear little tiny things once in a while, and that's about it. There's been a big, massive attempt to just cover it up and silence all of you whistleblowers, if you will. That's actually what you're doing, is you're blowing the whistle on BP and the EPA and all these government cover-ups that shouldn't be happening but are. And it's terrible because people are still suffering and they're still dying.
Let me interject you real quick, if I may. Let me interject you real quick. It's like the Chernobyl radioactive
mm-hmm.
problem still going
mm-hmm.
on, the Fukushima radioactivity still going on, and our
still
own,
going on.
Of course, you know, the oil with the BP spill
mm-hmm.
down there in the Gulf,
mm-hmm.
there is no answer for it. They have no solution. They allowed it to go on. When the devastation hit, they have no corrective powers for it. Henceforth, they just keep quiet and put their head in the sand, and it'll eventually hopefully go away. People will die, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
There's nothing
well, you know
can
what?
Do.
What do we, you know, first thing I always ask is when you're going to do a pipeline, what's your contingency plan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If that pipeline
I'm doing
blows.
This too. Right.
Is it going to be more of the same shit?
And there rarely is any.
And wood treatment plants and stuff, you know. We had a wood treatment plant back home. This is where I really got started in the environmental aspects. They were intentionally dumping their CCA, chromated copper arsenic, hexavalent chromium. Mm-hmm. The salt treated is the arsenic. Of course, the CCA or the pentachlorophenol, which you can call the creosoted wood treating aspect, highly, highly
mm-hmm.
toxic. They were dumping it into a swamp area, a water aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
We had people, the girl I graduated with, her parents died within like 10 days of each other, all with this black poisoning coming out when they pumped their stomachs.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
whole time,
when are these people going to get
EPA,
it's not better living? When are they going to get it's not better living through chemicals?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, it's
yeah.
pure greed that's driving them. Greed is all that's driving them, and it's having catastrophic effects everywhere. And I wish people would just smarten up, but there's a lot of dumb people out there yet and a lot of dishonest, greedy, scheming people
mm-hmm.
that are trying to cover up stuff and trying to perpetrate it even further. That is what is absolutely horrendous.
Well, the benchmark of my sanity in all this was when I was in Code In, I was working with a great videographer, and I, you know, my – I've been scrambling, saying I've got to tell these people stories. You know, I have to tell their stories.
Yeah.
Because when they're gone, who's going to tell them? You
right.
know? And so through Maureen and Real Coastal Warriors, I began. She gave me a forum, and it's called Medical Moments. And so my sanity in all this was going into Codin and Bayou La Batre, one of the hardest hit towns, and sitting down with these people and spending time with these people and getting their information and finding out how many people are actually dying, how many family members are dying. And the thing that makes me so sad about all this is that, you know, that people have said to me numerous times, why don't they just leave? How do you leave your culture?
Well, thing is if you don't have the financial means to leave.
Or if you don't have anything, how do you get out?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They should have
evacuated. It's like those maybe with the Dust Bowl that just, they were economically devastated. They walked off. They headed to California. Basically, they made themselves sharecroppers or migrant labor.
Right.
That's how far in the stratification of society they fell.
So
right.
Trish.
When my question has always been to workforce all over the Gulf. If it's all so jolly good out there, why are you trying to put these commercial fishermen into other jobs?
Right.
You're lying. Stop lying.
Trisha, talk about what is really going on is that in the coastal areas and in the bayous and in all around the Gulf, there is a whole culture that is dissolving and being lost.
Exactly. Exactly. They are.
And that's a part
these
of
guys,
what the filming is about.
They have coexisted, the Vietnamese fishermen, the American fishermen, the black fishermen, they have the Hispanic fishermen have coexisted peacefully. Especially in Bayou La Batre, and I saw that down in Plaquemines too. They have learned to coexist peacefully. And the problem is that, you know, BP was really good, and I'll tell you how good they were. They pay out one guy and they wouldn't pay out another one. I predicted this brother was going to turn against brother. Their
mm-hmm.
alcoholism rates are going to skyrocket.
Absolutely.
Drug addiction's going to skyrocket. Are you kidding
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely.
And they're treating him for mental health issues. Well, guess what? It's a hell of a lot more than that. It's not just mental. They're not crazy. They're losing their whole culture. How do you tell people get out and you should have moved when you never even provide them with any assistance?
Right.
And
yeah, people don't aren't sitting
people,
on million-dollar bank accounts and they could just whittle away, just spend them whenever they want to just go somewhere. It isn't that easy.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
you
the
know,
people making
would,
that suggestion are callous and very, very ignorant.
And
yeah.
you know, I would also look at the dolphin mortality rate. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
look at our mortality rate that's finally coming out after 6 years.
It's
you know,
life,
what part
awful.
Of people don't realize that we're mammals?
Mm-hmm.
The sea life
it's
and
just,
the whole shift of the Gulf. And if you take a look at the mutation of sea life that is now mm-hmm. meandering through the Gulf Stream. I don't know if people understand how oceans work. But the Gulf
mm-hmm.
Stream right around, I can tell you going out to sea from shore here.
Absolutely.
Where the Gulf Stream is by the color of the water. I know the moment I get into it. And that
exactly.
Gulf has shifted incredibly, so much so that the weather in Northern Europe has shifted incredibly from it.
Remember how cold it was after the spill in
yep.
England?
Yep.
I keep telling people that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, this is the sixth largest body of water on the planet. And
right.
it feeds into all these tributaries. And the bottom line is that, you know, that's what warms a lot of the waters, you know. Now,
yeah.
now let me tell you what's going on out there now. And after talking to a lot of people, there's been a lot of sediment that's settling down in there in the Gulf
yeah.
and settled on top of the Gulf, of the oil, okay?
Yeah,
there's been
no.
a lot of sediment that settled down on top of that oil.
Yes.
You're going to see things come back. you're going to see some regeneration. But I'm telling you, we get one storm, major hurricane.
Mix it all up again.
It is going to wash up on everybody's house.
Yep,
exactly. Everybody's going to get sick. I mean, Hugh Kaufman,
yep.
God love him, up at the EPA,
mm-hmm.
he made a very bold statement to my sources. I started working with Charles Diggs at Bologna. Bologna is out of Norway, and they're really a great group. Dar Jamal has been incredible at reporting this. Charles has been in a lot of the same places that I'm in, and he reports from Bologna International, and I'll send you their website. I mean, they've been at it from the beginning. And Charles lives in Mississippi. He's been threatened. You know, I mean, we've all been threatened to shut our mouths. I think our only salvation in this is that, number one, I gave my deposition to Shanna Devine. It's coming out. It was a pretty powerful deposition. It took me about 3.5-4 hours of crying to give my deposition to her. And I told her for a fact that I had applied for 15 nursing jobs before I left for Florida, and I couldn't get a one.
Wow.
Not one. And that's what they do. That's how they play it. They discredit you. And anyways, anybody that's been impacted by this spill, and I've gotten numerous people to call Shanna. My story's getting ready to come out. Anybody that's sick and has been impacted by the Gulf oil spill, the other thing I found in all this were codes. Actual physical codes called ICD codes. And
my wife's in the medical industry. Elaborate for our listeners what that means.
I will, absolutely. What I found was that there are actual codes. They're called, these are ICD-9s, but, you know, the new ones are ICD-10s. But
All
that being said, when you go into the doctor and let's say they diagnose you with high blood pressure,
sure.
There's a code for high blood pressure. So every procedure that you do is, that's called a super bill, okay? Whenever you go to the doctor,
mm-hmm.
you get this code. And if you have...
Right.
Other illnesses, that code will go on there, but all procedures will get checked off on that bill. The more doctors that start using these codes, the more the federal government's going to go, uh-oh, we have a little problem.
Right.
And the more the federal government realizes we have a little problem.
Medicare or Medicaid, they may change the codes,
yep.
too.
They could, yeah. They could, but, you know, that's where the beauty of going in and filing under the Freedom of Information Act, why and who generated those codes.
Right.
I guarantee you who it is, and I'm not even going to say it. I don't have to say it, but when as soon as I get validation, I will find out and I will let you guys know. Bottom line is it's called BP Oil Spill Gulf of Mexico Sickness.
Right.
Period.
Sure.
That's how I got a couple neurologists and people. Now, we've gone beyond just alternative and complementary. Now you're talking neurological problems. Now you're talking cancers. Until somebody gives me a freaking cure for cancer, I don't know what, you know, and I'm looking at alternatives. I'm looking at hope. You know, I'm looking at, you know, ozonators. I'm looking at different modalities that we could use. And I'm going to be talking to some physicians about these in the coming week. But the bottom line is they need systemic detoxification. But now systemic detoxification, I believe, is too late. Once you've got, you know, I mean, I've got an absolutely incredible gentleman who was the chief of the Bayou LaBatterie Fire Department, named Chief Clarence Wiggins, a decorated man. And this man spoke to me and told me that he had kidney cancer. He had never had this problem. He'd never had any of these problems before.
Right.
And, you know, and then, you know, people need to understand, too, the emotional toll that it takes on emotionally. I'll go into these communities and I'll be in there for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and I'll hear everything and I'll get what I can, and then I have to go away for a week so that I can rest. Because emotionally, the toll that it takes on the caretakers is awful. You know, and and I'm not going to be any good to these people dead. And I certainly can't save the world, but I certainly can educate them and they have their power. You know, most of these people don't go to the doctor. They don't like doctors, you know.
Well, that means they can't afford it. They have no medical insurance.
Or they have no money. Exactly.
Exactly.
So they treat themselves with over-the-counter medication. Most of these people, have, you know, your Vietnamese population, they don't go to the doctor. They use alternative medicine.
Right.
And so the bottom line is, so these people that are getting really, really sick, all of a sudden are getting a check for $600 or $650 from BP.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? That's not enough to go to a doctor.
Yes.
Get an appropriate diagnosis.
A mere pittance.
Right.
So, you know, I've never said this. I've said it before, and I'll probably say it again. You know, the gas is used in Auschwitz, and we said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until it was over, basically, until we knew it was over. They Chernobyl happened, and so there's no value to a human life. Fukushima happened. There's no value to a human life.
Exactly.
What's the value of a human life to these people?
Exactly.
You know? I don't get it.
Yeah.
And it's cruel, and it's inhumane, and it's happening. And I'm not just blowing the whistle on it. I'm telling you from my heart that in a million years, I would have never imagined that I would see this happening to my own people, in my own country, in my own Gulf, ever.
It's breathtakingly it's startling is what it is. It's horrible. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's terrible what we've seen. And it's not over yet. The story is not over yet. It just keeps going on and on and on. And, it's just...
And I guarantee you, as these waters get warmer, you're going to be seeing more flesh-eating bacteria. Because Covington area proved that it was in the tar balls.
Sure.
Out of Auburn. And that was in 2012. So you're going to be seeing more flesh-eating bacteria. You're going to be seeing some really awful illnesses coming down
Humankind the pipe. Humankind has a penchant for coming up with ways it can destroy itself, and this is a very good example of it. And the sad thing is that it's all of unavoidable. If people would just get over their greed and just do things more practically and safely. But no, the quickest way is the best. The most profitable way is the best. Don't even question it. Just do it. You know, that's wrong.
Let me interject here. There's those that have, Nietzsche said, convictions are more dangerous to truth than lies.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who say, oh, I'm a conservative, I've got a conservative view, because they've listened to the Kool-Aid drinking propaganda.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh.
Anything these companies perpetuate, propagandize, they're going to swallow
nonsense.
Hook, line, and sinker. And fight against you the whole time when you are going around Trist, and you do get your movie made, your documentary, and put it out there. You're going to have somebody like Sarah Palin telling you, oh, that's just a bunch of poppycock. She's just nobody. Mm-hmm. Right? We discredited her years ago. You're going to get that crap.
Oh, sure.
Well, and the thing is, there's a projection, a prediction
for you.
Right now, the big push is we want to get Mark's film out, The Rising.
Right.
The Rising is not about me. It's about the people. It's about the consequences of the BP oil.
It's about the truth
spill.
Of the situation, and that's what needs
to
be told and seen.
Tricia, have you reached out to Free Speech TV?
I haven't as yet.
Oh, they would gobble that up in an instant, Trish.
I have contacted my elected officials from Florida. I have contacted the president. I have contacted everybody.
Out.
And it's like, yeah, they are. It's like, you know, you guys are clueless.
Free
and
Speech TV is a great avenue for something like this. And they've done a lot of great, very revealing documentaries that you won't see anywhere else. They are on top of it. They are obsessed with presenting the truth and with true information. And you know what? When that video is finished, we've got to talk again, because we've got to get that over to Free Speech. I know they'll watch it. They'll show.
Well,
it
and
right
you know
away.
The other thing is there's another movie that came out, another movie that just came out, and I can't remember the name of it. I'll remember it. It's a really, really good movie, and I can't remember the name of it now offhand, but I'll find it. Another good movie came out, and it was just recently, and it was about the people of Louisiana. Well,
yes.
You know, the thing is that what I decided to do was, you know, I know how sick the people of Louisiana are. I get it. But I needed to prove, too, that Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida were affected.
Right.
And so, so, you know, I have a lot of very sick people all up and down this Gulf. And if anybody questions my intentions, come take a ride with me for about 10 days.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And come see what I have to look at on a daily basis.
You're not jamming you're not filling up with paychecks. You're not filling your bank account with information.
No.
You're filling up people's heads with the truth and the horror and the injustice of it all. And that's to be admired, not to be ridiculed and not to be scoffed at.
And I have
because
to
it's
thank,
very true.
You know, I mean, really, I have to thank John Waltham, and I have to thank Drew Landry, and I have to thank Mark Manning, and Ruben with Conception Media and Chris with Conception Media, because those people rode with me. You know, they saw things through my eyes.
Right.
And I'm an intense person. I know I am. But it doesn't mean that I'm not a compassionate and feeling person. And I guess my whole thought process on this is, you know, I mean, Ricky Ott came down, and thank God Ricky Ott came down, and there's, you know, she's doing some really good things, and trust us. But my efforts have to be in the Gulf. I can't go from disaster to disaster because this is my home, and it's my people and my Gulf.
Well, Trish, it's obvious to us, and I'm sure most of our listeners, that you're a very sincere, dedicated, genuine person. This is not, you're not trying to popularize yourself for any devious means.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're on top of this. You've studied it. You've lived it. You've explored it. Mm-hmm. You know what you're talking about. And you're genuine mm-hmm. in your approach. Nobody can call you a crackpot whatsoever because it's just not there. The truth of the matter is that the truth of the matter is what matters, and that's what you care about, and that's what you're trying to present. And it is a very important truth that people need to see.
When I thanks to Hugh Coffin for admitting that 20 million people are going to be impacted.
Good God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, the economic devastation of the proletariat, you know, the working middle class, the watermen, the businessmen that depend on the cash flow from the watermen and things like that, is all going to be severely affected.
Well, that is truly a definition of
generation.
A crime against humanity, no doubt about it.
Right.
Exactly. And, well, you know, and I was fortunate in all this to meet a nurse, another nurse, that openly admitted to me. And I had a packet in my hand, and I gave it to her, and she said, you know, a lot of people are going to die. And I said,
the death sentence is already awarded. They're just waiting for it to come to fruition.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, even beyond that, the death, that might be merciful for those poor people, those afflicted people. What about the people that are going to have to live with the horrible physical effects that they've suffered already and will suffer further down the line as a result of this exposure? I mean,
me a complete cure for cancer, then they
better
start setting up hospice programs.
Mm-hmm.
They better start setting up treatment programs. They better start setting up some humane practice programs in this country.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm telling you, we are going to need them.
Yes.
Well,
and they need to give them disability if they can.
Yeah.
And let me elaborate on this. If they try to go to the courts are going to look at it and say, well, VP, Halliburton, all the affected, all those guilty parties that were had perpetrated this, they've already paid their debt to society. So all this that you're talking about will be falling on our social welfare programs. Like when I say that, I'm talking about the Medicaid, the Medicare.
Exactly.
And, you know, so it's basically the cost is going to fall on the working middle class taxpayers of this of our society.
Exactly.
And all the
another
corporatists
exactly.
want to get rid of those
need,
programs or diminish them.
The corporations,
you know?
Right, and the corporations will still be recording in tens of billions of dollars in profits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's like,
there's your, you know. And I don't want to sound like a socialist, but this is just cold, hard fact capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
It is,
the
absolutely.
Says, this is your penalty, here's your fine, they paid their debt to the society, everything else now is back to us.
Excuse me. And there's a common denominator here, and it includes all of the horrors of man. I mean, the Fukushima waters that are circulating out of the Pacific.
Oh, yeah.
The Gulf, the Korea.
Yeah, it's not going to stay in Japan. It's already showing up here in this country.
Excuse me.
Yes,
but
go ahead, Gwen.
The Corexit mucked waters of the dead zone of the Gulf and what is creeping out of the ocean waters, as Trisha explained before.
Exactly.
Freshwater sources that are becoming tainted through the weather patterns that interact with our
atmospheric conditions. Mm-hmm.
And then you get something as fixable as Flint, Michigan, and there's a lot of other communities in this country I know that are suffering, not maybe as horrifically in crisis state, but growing closer every day to it. Mm-hmm. But you get that. And I have to say, I was very disappointed in President Obama's, trip to Flint. While he did say and introduce many remedies, and he put positive spin into the people's hearts and minds about getting it done, what he did not do was come in with the Army Corps of Engineers to get those pipes replaced right away.
Exactly. And these people should be sitting in a jail cell at The Hague.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say that Governor, the name
Rick
flew right.
Snyder.
Governor Snyder and the rest of his, rat squad that were siphoning off the money by cutting all of these funds. And we know that.
All
of
his city managers belong in a jail cell awaiting further prosecution.
Exactly.
Every one of them, without fail.
You know, and the makers of that toxic Corexit should be sitting in a jail cell.
Absolutely, without question.
I'm just absolutely blown out by the whole situation.
We demand justice. We're not getting it, but we're going to still demand it.
My point is that the one common denominator in all of this is water. And water is
exactly.
dear to the planet and to humanity and everything living on it as oxygen.
Exactly.
That's why we've got to stop fracking and all this crazy pollution that we're doing. We got to stop the Koch brothers dead in their tracks because all they want to do is pollute
Monsanto.
Water.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Oh.
And it's like, what happened? You know, where did
corporate greed
destroys
it all?
Since the beginning of the industrial age, they've turned us into a toxic dump.
Right, exactly.
You know, made
other
corporation by the corporation and for the corporation.
Yep.
And the bottom line is, and this is, Hugh Kaufman also gave me some very sage advice. If we don't pull money out of politics,
right,
we're gonna get more of the same.
That's true. And
we've got our work cut out for us, gang.
Yeah, it's going to take people becoming more and more aware. We need to get people informed. Before I close this off here, we're at the top of the hour. I was going to close this out with a song. But
man, this went fast.
Yes, this was a very good show, by the way.
Yes, definitely. And thank you for your activism. I want to say that definitely. But Trish, we want to hear from you again soon, and we want to see some progress here. We've got to recommit ourselves to – we've got to dedicate ourselves to getting this horrible situation finally cleaned up. These films that you're working on, when they are released, we've got to get them out there. People have got to see them.
The other thing is, if you guys would do me a favor and go into The Rising – It's on Facebook or Mark Manning's page. Go in and get everybody to like The Rising and
Mark Manning.
Any films that are about Mark Manning. mm-hmm. go over to his page and like The Rising.
Okay.
That's going to be a very hard. Oh, the other movie that came out is called Ecocide.
Ecocide. Oh, perfect.
By
perfect,
Julia.
Right.
Uh huh. Yeah,
perfect,
and that's on the really hard hit area over at Grand Isle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, yeah, she just put out a really good film called Ecocide. So,
yeah.
But Mark Manning is putting out, we're trying to get 20,000 likes. That's all we need,
great.
You know. So
that
we can
happen.
Start getting our crowdsourcing going and getting this film moving.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah,
people, as you're pushing forward from now on, take this into account. The Rising, you've got to like that on Facebook. You've got to
right.
view the film Ecocide and similar things like that. Do some research.
Right.
Let's get to
educate
the bottom
yourself.
Of this. Let's spread the word.
You know,
let's get it out there.
Right. 60 Minutes Australia has done a brilliant job. Rip Kirby has done a great job from Surf Riders. All these people have worked so hard to show you the truth. And you know, there's a laundry list of films, but we need to bring them back again.
Right.
So we put them back in the faces of these people. So that
and thank
we, you
for
know,
your activism, Trish. It's been valuable, and it is so needed, and it's so vital. So keep up the good
thank
work.
You.
I applaud you heartily. Great job.
Thanks.
And we want to talk to you again and again and again and get this thing finally
right.
cleaned up.
I love you guys.
We love you, too.
Right
keep up the
you,
good
girl.
Work. Yep.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. And that is our show, Back to Our Origins, in the Gulf, in the water, in the air. I mean, that's what we've got to talk about. We've got to talk about that and who's responsible for not getting it healed.
That's punishing.
Gentlemen, thank you for being with us, Trish. Thank you.
Thank
you.
You,
Wayne. Thank you.
Namaste. Hello. Good night.
Good
night,
Trish. All. And I say, and Glenn, Jack, again, another good show. Good night to you, and I'll talk with you again next week.
Look forward to it, Wayne. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Oh, thank you, Jack, bye-bye. For bringing that one up.
Laughing in our faces.